Got some rain this morning, but that's okay.
That's when he blesses us.
The blessings of God come in all ways through his word and through his love towards us. If you would, I want you to turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. We're going to read that verse in a little bit. You know, last week, I laid out the plan that God has for us to reach him, the Father. I laid out the plan of how God says we are to pray to the Father through the name of Jesus, or through the cross, or through the blood of Jesus. I laid out the plan of how when we go before him, we are to deny ourselves, saying, Father, and when we deny ourselves, we're saying, I cannot solve anything. I cannot solve anything in my life. I cannot solve anything in other people's lives. I don't have power or authority over them. You know, if you think you have power and authority, that's witchcraft. You never have power and authority. God has not given us power and authority over people's lives. God has given us power and authority over demon spirits, over principalities and powers that are set in high places. That's what he's given us power over. Okay? Those influences. But as we go before the Father, we deny ourselves and we look to the cross of Calvary. And as we look to the cross of Calvary, we know that all victory has been won there. And through the cross of Calvary, we get to Jesus who paid the price. And then it says, because of Jesus, we can get to the Father, and we can have whatever we shall ask in his name, believing, if it's according to God's word and according to what he has set for us as a standard for each one of our lives. So that's God's plan. That's God's way of giving us assurance that we can go to him. We can boldly walk into the throne room of heaven. Can you imagine? To the Father, through the blood of Jesus, through Calvary's cross, and request and plead with him the things that he has put upon our hearts for our lives, for other people's lives. And asking the Father to move by his Spirit and to change things in our hearts and in our lives. We don't realize, as Christians, we don't realize the immense power that God has given unto the believer. The immense power that God has given unto the believer to be able to go through the throne room of heaven and plead our case before him and letting God move upon those things that need to be moved on. Praise God. And God giving us the things that we're requesting of him according to the will of the Father. How great is your God? How great is our God? You know, throughout the scriptures, talking about Jesus, our God did many miracles. Many, many miracles. Many miracles. It talks about how Jesus healed two blind men and their sight came back. Talks about how the widow's son was raised to life. Talks about how Jesus cleansed the lepers. Talks about how Jesus cured the nobleman's son of fever. Talks about how Jesus, the shortest verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus wept, and he wept over the death of Lazarus, and Jesus raised him back to life. Talks about how as Jesus was teaching the people how 4,000 people were fed, and on another occasion, 5,000 people were fed. Miracles, 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 miracles. Talks about how a man's withered hand was cured. It also talks about how Christ walked upon the water. Miracle after miracle taking place in the scriptures. You know, and that's just a little bit of what that's just a little bit, just outlining a few things. But God in his great mercy has done so much, so much, so much. In John chapter 21, verse 25, it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." You think that was a lot of things Jesus did?
Yeah.
The scripture says in John was writing it, it says, if they were all written down, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. You know, we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they call it the Synoptic Gospels, because a lot of it, of what happened in one of them, you know, the other guy wrote about it too in a different perspective and a different way of seeing it, how they saw it. And so all these guys saw things, they may have seen the same things, but they wrote about it in a different way, which is good, because you can look at all of them and see different outlines, different perspectives on what they saw. But they're saying here, John is saying this, if everything that Jesus did, from the time he was born to the time he died, that the world's books could not contain it all. You know, we think of computers and man, we've come down to little chips there that can hold mega material. Mega. I mean, you know, years ago it was encyclopedias, you know, the books, you know, from A to Z and all this stuff. I mean, it was huge. But John is saying Jesus did so many things that the world could not contain the books. That's the God you serve. You know, this is just what I think. When Jesus got up in the morning, because he had a physical body, he had to sleep, you know, and all this stuff. But from the time he got up, he was 100% man, but yet he was 100% God. That as he walked around and did whatever, miracles. You know, we often look at, you know, you see Peter, you know, it says that his shadow as he walked would heal the people. I mean, that's amazing. If Peter's shadow did that, I know Jesus' shadow did a whole lot more. Don't you think? As Jesus, his shadow, wherever he went, miracles. That's why people were drawn to him. Not so much the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all these religious people. They would go into the group to try to trick him up. Try to ask him questions that would trip him up and make him look not good in the eyes of the people. But miracles follow this man, this our God. That's the kind of God you serve, a great God. That there's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. I often think of the conversion of Paul or Saul. You know, we think, it says that the Christians were praying for this man. They were praying for him because he was the one that would go into the Damascus and go into these cities and take out people from their homes and lock them in jail and have them killed, some of them. We often think, the Christians prayed once and God did a miracle. Look, I'm telling you, these people prayed and sought God for Paul's soul continuously. And because of what they did in the praying of the Christians, God mightily broke the chains of hell upon his life. And God, we know the story. We know the event. How God, the bright light shone. He was going to Damascus to destroy Christians. He thought he was doing the work of God. And a bright light shone him. He fell off the horse and he was blinded. And God sent a man to pray over him and the scales fell off of his eyes. And he was transformed by the power of Almighty God. Let me tell you, we serve a God that is mighty. We serve a God that is great. We serve a God that is all-powerful. There's nothing too difficult for him. The devil will try to make us think in our minds that God can't do it, maybe. That's too difficult. That God can't. can't make it happen. But let me tell you this, there's nothing too difficult according to God's plan that he can do. He can do it all. Amen. Except he can't lie. He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. You serve a great God. 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 That there's no limits. You serve a great God. You serve a, we talked about, we sang a song, how great is our God. How great is he. How great is our God. We got to believe it. We got to think it. We got to see it. We got to let that faith move in us. We got to believe God for the impossible. So that when it happens, we can tell people, that's God. That's God. We have to believe him for the impossible that he places upon our hearts, knowing that it will happen as we plead our case before him daily and continuously, that the power of God will move upon the people that we're praying for, that the power of God will move upon the situations that are stopping the things of God from being outpoured upon the people, that God will move at will within the people's lives. That's the power of our God. How great is he? That he can change a situation in a moment. He's waiting for us to pray. He's waiting for us to seek him. He's waiting for us to move and have action upon our feet. Waiting for us to move and see things happen. That's the kind of God we serve. Ready and willing. John 14, verse 12-14. You would turn to that scripture. It says, verily, verily, I say it to you, that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, who's talking? Jesus is talking, okay? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now look at, let's start at the very top. And it's verily, verily. Every time it starts out and it says verily and it says verily again, that means important, important. That means listen, listen. You know, that's like when your mom or your daddy calls you by your first and middle name. You know you're in trouble. And they call you by your real name and not your nickname, you know you're in double trouble. Something's important. You better get here. Something's happening. Verily, verily, I say to you, Jesus is saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, Christians. Verily, verily, I say to you, believers. Verily, verily, I say to you, my children. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do. We looked at just a very slight 8 miracles that I just named. Jesus is saying, take up the mantle. You shall do these works and even greater things as I go to my Father. See, Jesus came, started the work of the ministry of the Father. Now, we know the Father had started from the beginning. And man fell, and it went through some hard times, low times, dark ages, all kinds of stuff. Then Jesus came to reconcile man back to God. And when Jesus was born, the miracles, the ministry of the Father was being done upon the earth. Then Jesus chose what? The 12 disciples. One of them messed up, whatever. He chose another one. Okay? And he instilled in them how he could move. And when Jesus was crucified and died, these 12 guys were the ones that were supposed to go out. And they did it. And they went out and preached the gospel. And miracles, signs, and wonders took place in their hearts and lives. And in the world at that age. But Jesus has called not so much, not just the Jewish people, but also the Gentile people. Everyone has been called by God to do the work of the ministry, to pray over people, to see miracles happen, to believe God for the impossible, to believe God that it can happen. That it can happen. When Peter stepped out of that boat and Jesus said, come, and he stepped out, I wonder what was going through his mind. We know he got sidetracked, we know that. But I wonder what was going through his mind when he took that step of faith. And he looked down and his feet were on top of the water. See, when we serve God, the natural things of the world go away. The natural things will try to stop the work of God. But God will eliminate, if he has to, the natural things of the world to get the spiritual things to happen upon the earth. He will move it if he has to. And God is just looking for a people that will look to him, that will say, Father, I need you, I want you, I desire you. And to see miracles and the power of God moving upon a people's hearts and lives. Have you ever saw somebody that was depressed? And God just said, I want you to go and just lay hands, and you lay hands on them, and the power of God just moves in their lives. Have you ever been in a church service where you're just there and the power of God just comes in and it seems like it just breaks things that you don't even know were on your heart and life and it changes us? That's what the power of God will do. The power of God can fix all the ills of mankind upon the earth as Christians. The ones that want him. The one that is striving to serve him. Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. The power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4, please. Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts is called the book of action. Because that's where the power of God was poured out in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. You know, as far as speaking in tongues and all this stuff. And the power of God came in and changed. And that's where the church really was birthed. Then he told the 120, go. And the power of God moved upon the earth like never before. Never before. In Acts chapter 4, look at starting at verse 1. It says this, and as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. Amazing. For it was now evening. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Can you imagine in one day they preached 5,000 men? That's not counting the women and the children, believed God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Now you have to understand that they did not like Peter and the other disciples that were preaching the gospel. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them. Now remember, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and when he starts to open his mouth, the Spirit of God is telling him what to say.
Amen.
And I know probably every one of us has been to a place where, you know, you may be talking to somebody or doing something, and the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you know the Spirit of God is saying, I want you to say this. And the reason he's telling you to say that is because he knows what that other person needs in their life. And he knows, as you say it, the Spirit of God will be like a spear that will penetrate their hearts and change their lives. We are a church that has been filled with the Spirit of God. People speak in tongues. We are moved by the Spirit of God. We need to let God be God in our hearts and in our lives. We can't be afraid. We can't look back. We got to stand firm on the gospel and stand firm on what God has called us to say and what God has called us to do. We can't be timid. We got to be boastful. We got to let the Spirit of God move. And when we're boastful and let the Spirit of God move, he takes that word that he put upon your heart and he plows it into the hearts of men. And it changes their lives. The wisdom of man will drive man to their grave without God. But the wisdom of God and his Spirit will drive man to God himself, and they will seek him and they will search for him. And that's what God is looking for, people that will surrender to his Spirit, that will surrender to what he wants. And as we do that, the Spirit of God will move and change people's lives and move upon their hearts. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people. Now look, he was getting tough with them, and the Spirit of God too. Because he's talking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. He said, you want to know why this man is made whole? Who did it? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto among men whereby we must be saved. He was saying, you Pharisees and Sadducees, it's you that killed Jesus. It's you that did it. Now, we know Jesus laid down his life. He could have called thousands of his angels and gotten up there and destroyed every one of them. But it was them, and he's saying, it's not by any other name but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't back down from that name. Don't back down. Nowadays, they don't want dignity. Nowadays, they don't care if you say God. It's universal God. And let me tell you, narrow it down when you say Jesus. And let me tell you, they cringe because you say Jesus. And the enemy trembles. Jesus. And demon spirits tremble. And those demon spirits are in people and in people's lives, and they tremble at that name. Stand firm. Stand firm on your belief. Stand firm on the God that saved your soul. Stand firm on the God that is great among you. Verse 13. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. Now, that doesn't mean that they were ignorant as far as knowledge. Just ignorant maybe in their schooling. In the Pharisees and the Sadducees' schooling that they would go to. Okay? Just because you don't know something in a certain area doesn't mean that you're ignorant of everything. You know, certain people have their specialties that they know certain areas better than other areas. And beholding that the man which was here standing with them, that's amazing, the impotent man was standing there with them, and the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't do anything about it because Peter got up and said, it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus, the one who crucified, Jesus of Nazareth, that has made this man whole. They had already put Peter and John in prison. And beholding, this man was healed, standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. People, that's your God. That's your God. That's your God. That word should build faith in your heart, man. Should build faith in your spirit to believe God for anything. For that is spread no farther among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this way. Here they got so upset with these guys, and we'll get back to them. And they told them, look, I mean, and it says in Scripture that they were bold. Not bold in themselves, but bold because of the Spirit of God in them. And they threatened them and said, look, don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Don't tell anybody. I mean, they probably put their finger in their face, too. You know, all of the council. And I'm sure Peter and John were just looking at them like, okay, wait. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, now look, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. Who should I obey, they say, God or you? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Now this is where I wanted to get. We got to the place where they take Peter and John, they put them in prison, you know, they let them out, and they threatened them and tell them, do not speak in the name of Jesus ever again. I mean, they put their finger in their face. I mean, they just tell them, do not speak of Jesus, do not speak of his name, nothing. Always remember, God had a church that was praying for them. Prayer always changes things. Prayer always brings about the will of the Father upon the earth. Peter and John had boldness. They stood up. They could have thrown them back in prison, and they still would have spoke to them like they spoke to them, because of the power of the anointing of God in their hearts and in their lives. Now, the church was praying. This is what I want to get to. Look at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company. They went to the other disciples, the other people, the church, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, look what they did. Let me stop right here. When they heard, when Peter and John got out, and they went to the other apostles and elders and the church, the people didn't say, well, you know, we need to be quiet. We need to shut up. We need to not speak in the name of Jesus. We need to just go with the flow, you know. Just go with the flow. This is what happened. When they heard that when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. What they started to do is, in one accord, they just started praising and worshiping God. They didn't let the threats of the enemy. Let me tell you, the enemy will threaten. And he will use people. He will use people in the flesh. He will do whatever it is. Whatever it is, he'll try to stop you from declaring the things of our Lord and Savior upon the earth. He will do whatever it takes trying to stop you. But they don't realize that the power of the Holy Spirit is ever churning and turning on the inside of us. The power of our God is ever moving on the inside of us, making us bold to stand and to stand under the pressure of the enemy. That's the power of our God. They don't realize that we have a God that's working inside of us and on the outside of us.
Amen.
We have a God we serve that's working. working on us. My God, if they could see the surgery of what we've all gone through by the power of the Holy Spirit, my God, what God has done, how God has taken out things and put things in, how God has molded us and made us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, and how the power of God is working on the outside to gain victory for us in the things that He calls us to do. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God. How great is He, people? How great is He?
Hallelujah.
They came out, not money grubbing, and said, oh, Lord, help us. And there's nothing wrong with that when we need it. Because all Peter said was help when he was drowning and God came. But look what they did. They worshiped God. They worshiped Him. The God. They come before, they say, the God that made the universe, the sea and everything in it. They worshiped Him. Who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the earth and the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined for done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servant that with all boldness they may speak your word.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Every time the devil threatens, he's not threatening you, which that's what he thinks he is. He's threatening the God in you. People, you should have shouted. Whenever the devil threatens you and tells you, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose all that you have. You're going to lose everything. You can't amount to anything. He's not only attacking you, which he thinks he's attacking you, but he's attacking the God in you. And let me tell you, when the enemy attacks the God in you, the God in you comes out.
Amen.
And is willing to fight your battles. He's willing to go before you and make those crooked places straight. He's willing to settle those things. Is willing to call out those evil things and call them into null and void areas. He's willing to destroy them on your behalf because you are His child and He is great and you have called upon Him. You and I have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. So He fights our battles. He brings victory in our hearts. He brings victory in our lives because of the power and the presence of God that is in us. The blood makes it possible. The blood, the conquering of our Savior upon the cross has made it possible. And look at this. About to close. And by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by your name, by the name of your holy child Jesus. Now, they stop praying. Now look at this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. I'd say, would it be that truly happen? It wouldn't be written in the word if it didn't happen. Look, you know what that means? After they finished worshiping and praising God, they went to the God that could protect them and help them. It says that the place that they were in started to shake. Started to move. What most think is probably a little earthquake took place. Now, God orchestrated it because of the power and the presence of Almighty God in that place. That things started to move. But now, when God moves things, He doesn't break things. You know, He may have to break things in our hearts so that we surrender to Him. But it says the power of God came into that place that it started to move and shake. My God, what a God we serve. There's nothing too difficult that God cannot solve. And there's nothing too difficult that God cannot do. Started to shake and move by the power of God. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word with boldness. You want a church that will have boldness? You let the Spirit of God move in their lives. You let the Spirit of God move in their churches. You let the Spirit of God move in their families. And let me tell you, God will raise up a generation of people that will take on the banner of righteousness and stand firm on the things of God. And will be bold to stand. They will be bold to stand against the pressures of the world. And that God will hold up a standard and say, no, enemy, you can't go more than that. Stop right there. Because of the power and the presence of God upon your heart and upon your life. Look, can you imagine? Peter and John got back and they started to tell them, look, this is what they told us. And look, the first thing they did, they didn't say, well, let's get a council. And let's decide what we're going to do. Look, most churches have so many groups that they're not worth more than 2 cents. It's horrible. It's horrible. It's just a group instead of a church with power. They said, let's pray. And they lifted up their hands. They said, the God of the universe, the great God Jehovah, the God that made everything upon the earth, from the land to the sea, the God that we praise and the God that we worship, we call upon you, Lord. Lord, you see their threats. But Father, we worship and we honor you. And the power of God came into that place and shook the building. Shook the building. We need some shaking up. We need God to shake us up. We need the power of God in our hearts. We need the power of God in our churches. We need the power of God in our families. We need the power of God in our homes. We need the power of God. Let me tell you, get in your home and start walking around and worshiping God, saying the blood of Jesus will reign in this place. The power of God will be here. The blood be against you. That means the cross of Calvary. See, the enemy will come in like a flood. The enemy will come in and try to destroy your family, try to destroy your home. But let me tell you, you go in there and you start praying. You say, Father, I worship you. Father, I worship you through the blood and through the name of Jesus. I come before you and I take back what is rightfully yours, Father. Lord, give me the boldness to stand against the enemy, Lord. But Father, let the power of God move in this place. Come on now. Come on now. We need a little bit of boldness. We need to stand up sometimes. We cannot be like spaghetti noodles. No backbone. We need to have a backbone of the Spirit of God. Letting God move upon our hearts. Letting God move in our families. And be willing to let God move in our churches like never before. The power and the presence of God. The power and the presence of God. This building hadn't shaken yet, but I wish it would. I fought last week, baby. Keep praying. Keep believing God. Keep moving in the presence of God. Take your Bibles and quote the scriptures back to God. Plead your case before Him. Say, Father, you told me this. I'll plead my case like a lawyer towards you. But there's a difference. He's your God. And Jesus makes the way. Makes the way. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You may close your Bibles. Amen. If you would you please stand for just a minute? Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Have that song ready again, this blood. I'm going to sing that again before you leave. Okay? As every head is bowed and every eye closed, I always like to give an invitation. If you don't know Jesus, and you'd like to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, would like to receive you, would you please raise your hand to indicate to me that you want to receive him? I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? And then let's all pray together, because we have one that raised their hand, a child that raised their hand, and we want to pray. Let's all pray together. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you
to forgive me,
of all of my sins. And
I accept you
as the Lord of my life.
I believe
that you died on the cross. And you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe you died on the cross for me. And I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior and as my God. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name we pray.